WDEO, Ypsilanti Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tamio.
On a Monday, March 10th, 2014, good to be with you. Very excited about our program for today. A number of great guests, all of whom happen to be female. Just happened that way, but they're all wonderful. Dr. Meg Meeker, 15 minutes past the hour. Elizabeth Ficicelli, author and speaker, joining us at 39 minutes past the hour. And then Gail Buckley, of course, our Bible lady, for our scripture verse of the week, Matthew 7, verse 6. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. What did the Lord mean by this? Gail will explain coming up at 49 minutes past the hour. Hope you had a blessed weekend. I had a blast. I was in Grand Rapids, Michigan, in the western part of the state, for their 9th annual Catholic Men's Conference. It was awesome. I was one of the keynote speakers along with the amazing Father Larry Richards. He's terrific. He is just so, he's funny, he's entertaining, but boy, is he direct. Talk about not mincing words, but just a really, really good speaker. And so I talked about two things. Well, the women in men's lives, talked about women and what has happened to us over the past 50, 60 years and why things are so messed up and what we can do about it and how we got here together and we need to turn things around together as male and female created in his image and likeness. And then I also spoke about my new book, God's Bucket List, and did a God's Bucket List for Lent talk in the afternoon. And then Father Larry Richards just was phenomenal in really just talking about helping the guys get back to basics. The whole theme was about surrender. And so that's what we both focused on, surrendering. And we surrender, as I addressed in my first presentation, to how we were designed and by whom, the natural order of things. What does that mean? It is not stifling. It is not restricting. It is so freeing when we understand that. But what we've done to ourselves, and I thought it was very interesting at the first reading for the Mass this weekend, was from Genesis, all about when original sin came into the world, because that's basically when it all began, when we thought we could play God. And we're still suffering the consequences of that today. And so what do we do about it? It really means that we have to go back to basics, and that's what we discussed. And then Father kept talking about surrendering, not just once, but every single day, surrendering your life over to Christ. And really want to say thanks on a national level. I talked about this locally to our friends at the Kefa Men's Group and also to Holy Family Radio, who broadcast the Grand Rapids Men's Conference on Saturday, and then to the team who put it together. They did an amazing job. Their 9th annual men's conference, 800 guys in attendance, all coming together in Grand Rapids, Michigan, to learn more about their faith. This weekend, I fly out to Phoenix for their Catholic Women's Conference, and that's going to be exciting. I'm very excited to see, of course, the wonderful Bishop Olmsted again. I spoke there a few years ago and really enjoyed meeting him and did some seminars for their catechesis programs that were going on about media and family. And so that was a lot of fun, and going back to Phoenix. And I understand it's going to be sunny and in the high 70s, so I can't wait to actually feel some sun on my face, God willing, when I step off the plane. So our program for today, Dr. Meg Meeker, as I mentioned, at 15 minutes past the hour. And I can't wait to talk to Meg. I sent her a story and a press release this morning about this new quote-unquote study claiming that providing contraception or free contraception does not promote sexual promiscuity. Interestingly enough, apparently the results of this study are going to be used to defend the HHS mandate. Surprise, surprise. So, but Meg has a real passion to talk about this issue, because it was this whole issue with birth control and sexual promiscuity among teens that actually propelled her to start talking about this issue. So I can't wait to see what she says when she gets a hold of this study and sees what the Planned Parenthoods of the world and the pro birth control people of the world are saying. And Elizabeth Ficicelli is going to be joining us, and she's going to be talking about vocations, in particular talking about sisterhood, women joining the religious life, because it is a national recognition of that this week. So we'll talk with Elizabeth, who also hosts Answering the Call on our sister station, AM 820, of course, St. Gabriel Radio in Columbus, Ohio. And we'll concentrate on Elizabeth's latest book, featuring three beautiful sisters on the cover, St. Therese, Faustina, and Bernadette, three saints who challenged my faith, gave me hope, and taught me how to love. It's brand new, just came out this month, and it's from Ave Maria Press. Elizabeth Ficicelli joining us at 9:39 Eastern Time, 39 minutes past the hour, and then again wrapping up with Gail Buckley right before we close for a Monday morning with our scripture verse for the week. So three great ladies, and I hope you can stay tuned for the entire program on this, your EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Right now, let's take a look at the news and see what's happening in and around our world on Monday, March 10th, 2014. Well, the focus of that investigation into the disappearance of a Malaysian airliner now narrowing to a possible mid-air disintegration. Meanwhile, an investigation continuing into reports that four of the passengers used stolen passports to board the aircraft. Republican Rep. Mike Rogers of Michigan chairs a House Intelligence Committee. He told ABC's This Week it's not uncommon.
It's not common, but it is not unheard of either, that stolen passports can be repurposed and used mainly for the quality of the passports themselves. So if they're given the right circumstances, and in this case clearly it worked, they were able to board and gain entry.
Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 vanishing Saturday after it climbed to a cruising altitude of 35,000 feet. Vietnam's Ministry of Information says a search aircraft may have found plane fragments in the waters off southern Vietnam. Meanwhile, Deputy National Security Advisor Tony Blinken telling CNN's State of the Union, no one is calling this terrorism until all the facts are in.
It is too soon to tell what happened, why it happened, but what we've done is this. We've made available the FBI, the National Transportation Safety Board, and other experts to aid in the investigation.
More than 30 aircraft and 40 ships from various countries are now searching for any sign of the plane. A group of nuns that had been held by Syrian rebels is now free. Officials and witnesses say about a dozen nuns arriving back in Syria last night after traveling through Lebanon. After crossing the border, the nuns headed to Damascus in a minibus. The nuns went missing in December. Syria's civil war has been going on since 2010. Former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum thinks Republicans should look toward Pope Francis for messaging ideas. Santorum telling people at the annual Conservative Political Action Conference over in Maryland on Friday, Francis is talking about what Christians are for and not what they're against. He adds the GOP needs to become the That's Me party. After reciting the Angelus prayer on Sunday, speaking of Pope Francis, he and Curia officials leaving the Vatican for a week-long retreat. Breaking from a long-held tradition of holding them in the Vatican, the Pope decided to organize this year's annual event from March 9th to the 14th at the Pauline Fathers Retreat and Conference Center, about 15 miles from Rome. The small medieval town of Ariccia is not far from the papal summer residence of Castel Gandolfo. In choosing to get away from the Vatican and the daily pressures of Curia work and duties, Francis, church officials say, is showing that silence and prayer can have a transforming power in one's life and relationship with others. Meanwhile, Timothy Cardinal Dolan, Archbishop of New York, saying the Pope is trying to get Catholics and others to go back to basics and truly learn and embrace what the Church teaches. Dolan making the comments on Meet the Press concerning the Pope's recent interview with a newspaper and response to questions about marriage.
I want to ask the right questions. I want to point people to the place where they can get the answers, namely not me, the Pope is saying, but the Church's teaching, our tradition, the Bible, what God has told us. And then let's try to revive God's people.
During the interview with a daily newspaper in Italy, the Pope reaffirming that marriage is between one man and one woman. Former Vice President Dick Cheney saying President Obama should consider military force in the Ukraine. He told CBS's Face the Nation reinstating the missile defense program is a good start.
Conduct joint military exercises with our NATO friends close to the Russian border. Offer up equipment and training to the Ukrainian military. Take steps that will guarantee and convey the notion, especially to our friends in Europe, that we keep our commitments.
Last March, the administration canceling the final stage of a Poland-based European missile defense program. Obama saying the equipment was needed in Alaska to help prevent attacks from North Korea. A national union for 300,000 low-wage hospitality workers is making some grim predictions about the impact of Obamacare. A new report from Unite Here claims Obamacare could slash wages for lower-income workers by as much as $5 an hour. cut work hours, and limit access to health insurance as well. The report says the health plans available under Obamacare cost much more than what union workers currently pay for health insurance. Unite Here also says smart fixes must be made to the Affordable Care Act, or else the middle class will end up paying higher premiums for less coverage and working fewer hours. It also predicts income inequality in America may get worse because of Obamacare. The number of folks here in the U.S. using public transit is at its highest level since 1956. The American Public Transportation Association saying people took nearly 11 billion trips using trains, buses, and commuter rail lines in 2013. That's more trips than in 2008 when gas prices spiked to $4 or $5 a gallon and many people couldn't afford to drive their cars. Transit ridership has increased more than 37% since 1995 and outspaces the country's population growth. Still, the number of American commuters who take transit is about 5%. Well, here's a frightening story. Your personal information is probably being tracked and collected every time you use the Internet. In an interview with CBS's 60 Minutes, Federal Trade Commissioner Julie Brill saying marketing companies, some of them collecting files on well over 200 million Americans.
It is information that is individually identified to an individual or linked to an individual. I think most people have no idea that it's being collected and sold and that it's personally identifiable about them and that the information is in basically a profile of them.
She told the network these companies can unlock and sell everything from your medical history, sexual orientation, to your buying habits on thousands of sites that range from the New York Times to Good Parenting Today. These popular Internet sites allowing a handful of mostly unregulated marketing firms to trace your IP address and in some cases open your address book every time you take part in a poll, read a news article, or simply submit a post. Right now, it's legal because you surrender, they say, your privacy when you agree to the quote-unquote terms and conditions section of the websites you're visiting. The Senate Commerce Committee working to further regulate data brokers and their collection practices. And finally, in our news segment this morning at 11 minutes past the hour on a Monday, March 10th, 2014, well, if you've never had the experience of riding in one of those lovely horse-drawn carriages in New York City, around Central Park, or anywhere else in the Big Apple, you might want to make an effort to get there quickly and cross it off your list. As Alice Dr. Mosseini reports, Mayor de Blasio is not moved by an actor's efforts to make hay of his plan to ban those horse carriages.
Liam Neeson to Mayor de Blasio. Stop horsing around with the carriage industry.
To connect with our history.
About a dozen council members answered Neeson's call to tour the Clinton Park stables and see the animals are treated humanely.
And it has to be said, four prime locations on the west side of New York that realtors must be salivating to get their hands on.
And to make hay of the mayor's plan to replace horse-drawn carriages with electric cars.
That's exactly what New York needs, more cars.
Neeson blasted the mayor for not manning up and showing up. Alice Stockton, Rossini, New York.
13 minutes past the hour on a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection. You're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Looking forward to heading to Phoenix this weekend for their Catholic Women's Conference taking place on Saturday, March 15th. Also looking forward to chatting with Dr. Meg Meeker up next. If you have a question for Meg, 877-573-7825. You can find out a lot of information on her website, her books, her talks, and everything that she does to promote goodness and truth, and of course, Jesus, at MegMeekerMD.com. She is a pediatrician, she's a mom, and she's a proud grandma as well, and I know she's going to have a lot to say about this new study, the study to which we will be referring and discussing in just a few minutes, a new study that says that just providing free contraception everywhere, it's not a problem. It's not adding to sexual promiscuity. Well, first of all, if you believe that, then I have some oceanfront property, as George Strait would say, to sell you in Arizona. Secondly, even if it were true, so what? That wouldn't make it right. We'll be right back.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the St. Gregory Retreat Center, a fully licensed and internationally accredited alternative to traditional drug and alcohol treatment. This model has utilized the latest techniques based on the most current scientific research. More information about the St. Gregory Retreat Center is available at 888-778-5833. That's 888-778-5833.
People ask me how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. I've been telling my friends about Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care. They're the angels who can help. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. For more information, including franchise opportunities, visit them online at visitingangels.com.
During this season of Lent, Our Lady of Grace Bookstore offers many books of appropriate length to have you finish during the season. Now, each Lent, many say they want to have a growing relationship with God. Then start with Clarence Ensler's My Other Self, Conversations with Christ on Living Your Faith. Endorsed by Benedict Rochelle and Cardinal Donald Wuerl, it's called an intimate guide to the spiritual life, beginning with the call of friendship. In Conversation with God from Francis Fernandez is in a similar vein. And if you wonder why people witness to God's mercy, see Christoph Cardinal Schönborn's book, We Have Found Mercy, The Mystery of God's Merciful Love. Our Lady of Grace has plenty of books for kids, too, including Ablaze, Stories of Daring Teen Saints, and the Lenten Survival Guide for Kids. I'm supposed to do what? Those ideas plus DVDs, icons, rosaries, and crucifixes is what Our Lady of Grace Bookstore is known for having all year round. Our Lady of Grace Bookstore at Lobby C of Domino's Farms in Ann Arbor.
Again, 877-573-7825. I don't know where to begin with this. I'm so glad Meg's on with me this morning. Meg Meeker, of course, pediatrician, author, speaker, fellow Catholic sister in the Lord, and probably just as fed up, if not more than I am, with the garbage that we're trying to convince people of. And you know, I was telling my listeners, Meg, that the whole reason you got into, I mean, you were minding your own business with a nice practice, going along with your life, raising your family, thinking, you know, things are good and I'm fine. And then you start seeing, and in some really well-to-do areas, so many teens contracting sexually transmitted diseases, and you're like, oh my goodness, I need to change on this issue. When you see something like this, a study that is claiming change in sexual behavior has nothing to do with free contraception, what's your gut tell you? Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Absolutely. Well, you know, it's more the same that has that's coming from an organization that's trying, I think, well, the studiers, the researchers who are putting out the study, the so-and-so called study to see if giving birth control keeps kids from being pregnant but doesn't increase sexual behavior, it's really coming from a profound bias that, look, sexual freedom is our right, and we need to make sure that kids aren't getting pregnant, you know, not so much worried about abortions, but that all these people who are saying it's really not okay for teens to be sexually active just don't have a clue, and we need to silence them. And that's really, I think, what's a lot of behind a lot of these studies. It's really embarrassing as a physician for the medical community to read studies like this that say if you give free birth control to 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids, their sexual behavior really isn't going to change, because that's so counterintuitive. Every person out there knows that if you give birth control pills to young children, of course they're going to go and have sexual activity, because these little kids, the only thing that's keeping them sometimes from being sexually active is the fear of being pregnant, and that's a good fear, and it keeps a lid on things. So, you know, if you take away that fear, are they going to be more sexually active?
Right.
My experience over almost 30 years is, yes, it absolutely does. This study shows the opposite. They're basically running the study to try to prove a point that those of us who disagree with dispensing free birth control to young children are crazy, and we're not crazy.
What's interesting is, I love Pastor Walter Hoy. He's amazing. He's such a beautiful brother in the Lord, and he has a huge pro-life ministry and based out on the West Coast. But he put out the press release along with his wife, and they from the Issues for Life Foundation. And what he's talking about is they basically kind of ignored even their own information that they gathered within this study.
Yes, absolutely. It's very, very biased. And there's a lot of holes in the study, and there's a lot we don't know, you know, about the studies. Like they said, well, the 46% of the people who were virgins at the beginning, even though we gave them free birth control, they were still virgins. Yeah, but what about the others that weren't, the 50-some percent that were no longer virgins? And we don't know what age those people are either. The other thing that disturbs me about the study is they say that giving out free birth control did not, quote, increase risky behavior.
Well, they were already sexually active, though,
exactly.
Most of the people taking part in the study.
Exactly, and it depends on what you define as risky behavior. They may define risky behavior as somebody having more than 3, 4, or 5 partners. From a medical standpoint, any 14, 15, 16-year-old who's out there sexually active with one partner is participating in risky behavior. That's high-risk behavior. That's medically accepted. Any physician who writes in a chart that a child is participating in high-risk behavior, they're sexually active with one person, you know, that's acceptable. So the terms high-risk that they're using are different, than what we're calling high-risk.
How frustrating is it that this is coming from the College of OBGYNs?
Well, it's very frustrating. At the same time, I'm so used to this bias. American Academy of Pediatrics is the exact same way, because a lot of the people participating in this and running studies like this really have an agenda. And research, people who have done research will tell you that they're trying to have research, support research that proves a point they want to make. And the point is, look, people, we need to have everybody on birth control because unintended pregnancies are out of control. There's nothing we can do. We just need to make sure that everybody has birth control so we stomp out all these unwanted
babies. There's no look at addressing the behavior.
Because they don't believe it's immoral behavior. They don't believe that this behavior is high risk or bad for kids. And that's not medically sound. It's not medically sound to have a 14, 15, or 16-year-old kid on birth control, sexually active. Even the American College of OBGYN should not medically come out and say that's acceptable low-risk behavior, because it's not. But they don't pay attention to things like that, because the agenda is, look, our main point is to make sure that, because these kids are going to be sexually active, people are sexually promiscuous, we got to just get everybody on birth control pills to stomp out all these unwanted pregnancies, and we don't really care what's good for kids or adults or what's bad for them. Our agenda is to diminish unwanted babies. And they bypass a whole lot of medically sound decision-making in doing that. And that's what really bothers me.
But what bothers me is, if you look at all the evidence, and you know this well, you've quoted it in your books over and over again and in your talks, and so have I, look at what the Centers for Disease Control says about sexually transmitted diseases. It still talks about them being at epidemic proportions.
Absolutely. Well, and that's the other thing. Here's one measly little study, okay, that has a lot of holes in it. And we have years of studies that show, for instance, that a girl who's on oral contraceptives for longer than 4 years has a fourfold increased risk of having invasive cervical cancer, because a 14 or 15-year-old girl who contracts certain types of HPV, her cervical cells turn cancerous much more easily than somebody who's 25. So there's so many studies that show, look, sexually transmitted infections are at epidemic levels. We know that people who are on birth control pills over a long period of time, particularly kids, are at much higher risk for invasive cervical cancer. We know that people who are taking birth control pills are much less likely to use condoms. I wrote a whole chapter on just condom use in my book and how condom use goes down when you're using oral contraceptives or things like that. But as one who is very much against the Affordable Care Act and pushing on nonprofits and Catholic organizations to provide these for employees, I resent the fact that it misses the point. Ethically and morally, we don't believe it's right.
Yeah.
That we are.
They seem to think that we should be okay with this now because not. They even if this were accurate, which it's not, and it's like Fulton Sheen said, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, Venerable Fulton Sheen said, you know what? The truth is still the truth, even if nobody believes it. A lie is still a lie, even if nobody believes it.
Exactly.
Everybody
and
believes it.
And exactly. A lie is a lie. And people intuitively know this. I mean, you read the study and you know, wait a minute, come on.
Yeah, but see, this is just so frustrating that these medical people who are supposed to be protecting and doing no harm sell out to this.
Yes. They do sell out. Yes, I agree with
you. All right. Let's open up the phone lines, 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. Common sense isn't so common anymore. We'll be right back.
Dr. Suhail Mati practices the art of dentistry at Advanced Dentistry Center.
We're more than just a general dentistry. Imagine fixing cavities without a numbing shot. We can do that.
Dr. Mati graduated from the prestigious Tufts University and is expanding his practice, opening opportunities for you and your family, even with Saturday hours. Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph. Call 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
The faithful are invited to historic St. Joseph Church in Detroit on Wednesday, March 19th, to help celebrate the solemnity of St. Joseph. The Holy Mass will be offered three times during the day at 7 a.m., 12 noon, and 6 p.m. The new Mass will be celebrated by Bishop Donald Hanschen. The 6 p.m. Latin Tridentine Mass will be sung. The day will also feature private confessions, rosaries, novena prayers, veneration of a St. Joseph relic, and much more. Please visit saint-joseph-detroit.org or call 248-250-6005.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Chatting with Dr. Meg Meeker, MegMeekerMD.com, as we do on Mondays. She's a pediatrician, author, speaker, and she's out there speaking the truth in love. And she also has some great resources available to explain what's really going on versus what a handful of very biased OBGYNs want you to believe, that it's okay to just go out there and throw birth control and everything and everybody and everything will be fine. All right, so you said there are a couple of resources. First of all, before we get to Pam in Jacksonville, let's ask you about those resources and where people can find them.
Well, I wrote a book that has more data on how unhealthy sex is for kids than you'll ever want to know, and it's called Your Kids at Risk. Originally, I wrote the book called Epidemic, How Teen Sex is Killing Our Kids. Took it to the Archdiocese in Boston when I was working with them a number of years ago, and we wrote a Catholic version, which just meant we cut out a couple of pages in there. And Archbishop Sean O'Malley actually endorsed it. I have his paper with saying it, so that it's good for the Catholic Church to use. But it's basically Your Kids at Risk is a book, and I have so much data in there. So if there's any parent out there who is battling a sex education program at your school or whatever, if you want medically sound data, go there. Like I said, I wrote a whole chapter on do condoms work or not, and it's not moral arguments or necessarily religious ones. It's all medical. And so we're standing on incredibly solid ground here. We just need to use it.
All right, let's go to the phone. So the phone number, you have a question for Dr. Meg, of course, 877-573-7825. First, let's go to Pam in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Teresa. Good morning, and good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
It's amazing that you're talking about this because I volunteered at a help center for 3 years, and as I learned that information about the cervical cancer and our girls being promiscuous at a young age with birth control, I told him how it, and correct me if I'm wrong, I told him how it lowered the something to do with the cervical lining as it's growing and it's very thin, and I'm saying this in very layman terms, but I thought I was giving information to them to help them move away from the lifestyle, and I had two young girls say, oh, yeah, I've already had cervical cancer.
Ah.
And I said, oh, my gosh, well, okay, well, then you know what I'm talking about. But for me, that was a shock, see?
How old were they?
Oh, they were very young. I'm thinking one girl looked; she may have been like 19. They neither one was over 21.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is shocking, and I will tell you that I've had 14-year-olds in my practice who've had most of their cervix removed and are now going to be a high-risk pregnancy for the rest of their lives because they have cervical cancer, and no one told them how they got it. And I will tell you that many physicians are hardened because they just believe this is out of control. All we can do is put, you know, sort of we could try to do damage control. It is horrific, but keep on educating and keep on telling because I think that about 30 women a day are diagnosed with cervical cancer, and the younger the girl is who's sexually active, you're absolutely right, her cervical skin is not able to battle the HPV as well as, say, a 25 or 30-year-old because it's literally different cells. So the younger a girl starts on or off birth control pills, the worse off she is from an infection standpoint. And you're absolutely right. And even though one, you know, maybe you didn't get through to one or two, keep on at it because there are girls who will listen.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks. Appreciate the phone call. 877-573-7825. Oops, Andrea hung up. Darn, I wanted to talk to Andrea. She was calling from Pensacola, Florida. She said she disagreed with us both and doesn't think birth control leads to a lot of sexual activity, claims she's, quote-unquote, very religious and has been on the pill forever. And she's had way few sexual, I'm reading the screener's comments, Andrew's comments, sexual partners than anyone she knows. Well, Andrea, I hope you're still listening, sweetie, because first and foremost, you have to realize that if you are Catholic and you claim to believe in what the church teaches and you're greatly violating church teaching, first of all, by practicing artificial contraception, and if you are having sexual relations outside of marriage. And I would encourage you to go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, starting with paragraph 2370, and also to read the beautiful document, Humana Vitae, of a Human Life, which I think will help you greatly. So I'm glad that you're listening. I'm glad that you called in. But you really need to do your homework and understand what the church teaches, and then make sure you stop practicing artificial birth control, and also, sweetie, get the confession as soon as you can. All right, 877-573-7825. We have Jennifer calling from right here from Farmington Hills. We'll be right back. Oh, no, here she is. She's here. Go ahead. Hi, Jennifer,
Teresa,
real quick.
Hi, Meg. God bless you both for your ministry. I'm actually an emergency physician, and I could talk for hours about this from what I see both in the inner city hospital I work at and also at the community hospital. And it just saddens me, especially hearing Andrea's comment, because I see all these young women on the depot shot, which is basically chemical sterilization, and they go, you know, and have unprotected sex on top of having this birth control on board, and it really saddens me to hear that because it is definitely a fact that they're having promiscuous sex.
I was hoping that Andrea would stay on so we could walk her through this, you know, not to condemn her, but to walk her through it and to understand what she's doing, not only to herself spiritually, but also physically. This is just very frightening.
Yeah, but my comment is actually to Meg, and I wanted to ask you, physician to physician, is there any resource that we can go to, and not only as a resource, but a call to action? You know, I deal with, you know, bedside ministry as much as I can with my patients, and I, you know, like to, you know, talk to them as much as I can. But, you know, within our own Catholic community, with the Catholic schools, and also outside of that, how can we as physicians you know, really bring this information forward?
I think the most important thing we can do, you know, there's a great resource, the Medical Institute for Sexual Health, and it's in Austin, Texas, and it basically is a group of Catholic Christian physicians who go through all the latest research and talk about sexual health purely from a medical standpoint, and really go through a lot of this data and debunk a bunch of it. So I think that's a terrific source. I think the other thing that's really important is to talk to parents and to be aware of what's being taught in your local schools, and just talk with parents, because there's so much misinformation being taught to these sex ed teachers, and these they're just not getting their facts right, and they're sort of perpetuating a lot of these myths. I think that's the most important thing, but also to sort of stand up, because you know and I know that physicians, by and large, we don't want all these kids on birth control. We don't want kids sexually active, but a lot of physicians just feel like, oh, you know, what can we do? I mean, it's out of control. Well, there's a lot we can do. We got to stand up and say something rather than just keep kind of going with the flow, because most physicians don't go along with studies like this from ACOG that say, oh, it's really okay for, you know, people, young people to be on birth control. They don't want it, but they just don't have the time and energy to speak up. So Medical Institute for Sexual Health is what I would do, and then I'd also go to, you know, see what's going on in your local schools.
Okay, no, thank
so
you.
Frustrating. Thanks, Jennifer. Appreciate your phone call. You know, we get these people from this medical perspective, in addition to yourself and people who've dealt with this out there, and my heart breaks for Andrea. I mean, I'm really worried about her. I wish she would have stayed on the phone.
I know. The other thing, too, is that, you know, she's comparing her own experience of one person. Say, well, you know, it didn't bother me, so everybody else will be okay. You can't do that.
And even if that were true, that it didn't lead to sexual promiscuity, that wouldn't make sexual promiscuity correct.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still wrong.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we just keep on keeping on, sister.
Yep.
Dr. Meg Meeker, thanks for your insight. And again, for her resources, which she mentioned, you can go to megmeekermd.com. We'll be right back.
Okay, so where do we find affordable in the Affordable Care Act? For many of us, it's not so easy. We're paying higher premiums to cover things we don't need or don't even believe in. Well, here's some great news for Christians. You do have a choice. MediShare. It's a community of believers across America who share each other's medical bills. The cost really is affordable. Family options average around $300 a month. You never pay for things you find offensive. And the new mandate includes a special provision for MediShare members. MediShare is an affordable healthcare choice for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-11. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-11. That's 855-PSALM-11.
When a kid loses a tooth, it's exciting.
Look, Mom, I wiggled it out.
But an adult has some serious decisions that needs a caring, faithful, and family-oriented dentist like Dr. Maddie with Advanced Dentistry Center. Here's what Dr. Maddie says to those that are deciding between bridges and implants.
While bridges only last 8 to 10 years and damage adjacent teeth, implants last up to 30 years and help prevent bone loss. Plus, they look more natural.
Extremely natural, with Dr. Maddie, who practices the art of dentistry at Advanced Dentistry Center. Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph, make the decision to call 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Mention Ave Maria and receive 10% off dental implants. Be comfortable knowing that Advanced Dentistry Center's goal is to provide you with the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best. That's 248-594-9592.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. You may not know this, but March 8th through the 15th is National Catholic Sisters Week. Sisters. Of course, we're talking about those going to the religious life and not necessarily physical sisters. Okay, 877-573-7825. Elizabeth Ficicelli on the phone with us, and she's very interested in this topic as a convert. She actually does a show on vocations on our sister station, St. Gabriel Radio in Columbus. Hey there, how are you?
Hi, sister. How are you?
Hey, sister. Sisters. Every time
really
I hear that, I think of that
Catholic
song, Sisters, from White Christmas. We love our sisters. Now, I had sisters in grade school, the Sisters of St. Joseph. You are a convert, so you didn't have that experience. When did you first get interested in this idea of vocation, so much so that not only do you write books about vocations, but you also have a program dedicated to such?
I know. It is crazy. But like you said, I wasn't even born or raised Catholic, didn't go to Catholic schools, didn't have any of that exposure to those wonderful Catholic sisters teaching in my classrooms or anything. But God's kind of brought sisters into my life pretty early, and I've told the story in my conversion story and on radio interviews. But Therese was the very first Catholic sister that came into my life when I was a child, and I found her medal, but of course I didn't know who she was because I wasn't Catholic, and it would just be this discovery that would take another 15 years when I did come into the church in my early 20s, that I would discover the identity of that woman that was hiding in my jewelry box all those years, and it was not the Blessed Mother, which I just assumed.
Hiding in your jewelry box,
Mother.
That's cute.
Yeah, but it was Therese, and so that was my very, very first Catholic sister that crossed my path. So, and there's been others, obviously, and that's what this new book is about. But yeah, Catholic sisters are just amazing, and truly, I didn't even know about this whole National Catholic Sisters Week until a few weeks ago. When I was just speaking in your beautiful state of Michigan up at that women's retreat in Oklahoma, someone mentioned, "Do you know that it's National Catholic Sisters Week?" And I'm like, "What?" I had not heard it being promoted on the radio or anything, so I looked into it, and lo and behold, you know, go figure, it's the Conrad Hilton Foundation that has funded this with a university, St. Catherine's University, up in St. Paul, Minnesota. And this Hilton Foundation has given them over $3 million. You know, that's a chunk of change, but to promote awareness of religious life here in the United States. And, you know, now this is a university, so they are obviously going to be approaching this on a university level. So they're going to be instituting all these projects where the students will be able to chronicle both our great historical sisters in this country, which I'm sure would include Elizabeth Ann Seton and, you know, Catherine Drexel and Mother Cabrina, those kinds of giants in our country. But, you know, I would imagine also we'll be chronicling the histories throughout, you know, the years in our country, as these women have had some really amazing positions at the helm of universities or hospitals or whatever. But as I've often found on my radio show in St. Gabriel, answering the call, as I interview priests and deacons and religious, how many times I hear about Sister so-and-so, my second grade teacher, you know, just my little quiet second grade teacher who had this huge, profound influence on my life. And they're giants in their own rights, too. You know, they may not be running the universities or the hospitals, but they are just life-changing by their beautiful witness. And so I'm so happy that we can celebrate Catholic Sisters this week.
And I wanted to mention that this weekend when I'm in Phoenix speaking at the Catholic Women's Conference there for their diocese, they're actually going to be addressing this whole topic because the wonderful, of course, Bishop Olmsted, in addition to myself, has asked Sister Regina Marie Gorman, who is the Vicar General Carmelite and Chair of the National Conference of Major Superiors of Women Religious, to address the ladies. So that'll be exciting. And it was interesting, we were talking about, I don't know how we got on this subject last night when I was out to dinner with my husband and my mom, but she was talking about her cousin who passed away several years ago, who was a nun. And she said, you know, that my cousin entered the convent when she was 14, and she said even before that, she was always talking about being a sister. She said she would take a towel and put it on her head like a habit. And I said, well,
aww,
obviously, isn't that cute? She had a calling. She had that calling at a very, very young age.
Yeah. And they are just amazing women that really can profoundly affect our lives. And, you know, maybe it's just with the women religious, maybe it's just that motherhood, that spiritual motherhood, that nurturing, just that presence for young individuals in particular, that they have that that motherly figure. Maybe they don't have that at home, but there she is early in their lives, and seeing what this gentle, loving, a patient role model is for them. And I just hear that so many times on the radio show, how many times that one sister really impacted their lives. So I was really excited when I got the opportunity to write my conversion story, which is a small story compared to all these great saints, but I think everybody's on this journey. And so when Ave Maria Press said, we want to have you tell your story and talk about these three saints, Therese, Faustina, and Bernadette, and the impact they had on your lives, and they have in the areas of faith, hope, and love. I mean, the virtues of faith, hope, and love. They're all virtuous in so many ways, but I ascribe a virtue to each one of them. I really think they shine in that area. And even though they were these celibate sisters who lived in a convent, and I'm a mother of four and active in the world, they still are such tremendous role models for me and great spiritual girlfriends.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, the book is Three Saints Who Challenged My Faith, Gave Me Hope, and Taught Me How to Love from Ave Maria Press. Of course, it's about Therese, Faustina, and Bernadette. Now, is the book officially out there right now, Elizabeth?
Today is its official launch day.
Woohoo!
Oh, yeah, and it's been doing great on Amazon for, you know, a couple of months now. It hasn't been released.
They had the pre-sale going on, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, today is the actual official day, so it is available now, and you can go ahead and get it. I bought like 50 copies with me, advanced copies, to the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference that I emceed a few weeks ago, and they were gone by noon. And I hadn't even really had a chance to talk about it from the microphone, but I think people came and they look at the cover and they see these three saints' faces. And I love the art director for the book cover did such a good idea. She took their faces and put them in little lockets, like so many women wear a locket with a loved one in it. And I thought, what a great way to depict visually this personal relationship with these people who can really impact our lives. And the women would come up to the book table, they'd pick the book up and they'd tell me, like, oh, I love Therese, or, oh, Bernadette's my, you know, confirmation name, or I just read Faustina. And they would buy the book sight unseen. I mean, I wouldn't even have to say anything about it. So just the title and those their name, their pictures, are just selling the book. So if they hear some ways that I've been able to emulate them in my own lives and make some kind of hard decisions in my own life, scary decisions, but used their courage and their example to do it, then that's awesome, because that's the whole point of it. We're not alone in our journeys. God never intends us to be alone. He surrounds us not only with earthly companions, but these wonderful role models from heaven that are there to walk the journey with us.
Now, I don't know if I was talking to you or someone else. I'm trying to remember. Did I tell you about the movie The Trouble with Angels, and you had not heard about it before, or what? I'm trying to remember.
I know you've talked about it a lot. I think that movie had a big impact on you as a young person.
It did. It did, because it was a true story, first of all, and it starred Hayley Mills, and Rosalind Russell was a mother superior. And I identify with the Hayley Mills character, because when I was in, I know this is a shock, Elizabeth, so sit down and take your breath away. I was always getting into trouble in school because I talk too much. Surprise, surprise. But I always admire the nuns, because they were also so good to me. And it was, I believe, one of my nuns at St. Joan that helped me find my vocation, Sister Lucinda, who used to call upon me to read out loud quite often and put me on the stage with a microphone to do things, you know, in the church productions and whatnot. But the movie reminded me so much of my own education in terms of the truth of the nuns and how they really, you know, stuck true to what they knew and to help us be good women and men of God. I went to a parochial boys and girls Catholic school. But it's a beautiful movie. I think you'd get a kick out of it, knowing what you know now about vocations. And it would move you, too, because when I was watching it growing up, it was kind of a comedy. But when I got older and came back to the church and I watched it again, I really felt myself moved in a completely different way, because in the end, Hayley Mills decides in her character, and it's based on a book, so it's not like, you know, I'm doing any type of disservice here, but maybe I shouldn't say it, because then you won't know how the book and the movie ends. Okay, I'm just saying, get the movie, The Trouble with Angels, and get the book, too. Yeah, I won't tell you, but it's a true story, and it's beautiful, and I think it drives home the point of the witness of the sisters and the impact they still have on people.
Oh, they truly do, you know, and again, I'm so delighted that they're getting recognized. And I was thinking, yeah, next year Pope Francis is going to be, you know, instituting a year of the religious, you know, recognition of religious across the boards. But I know it was wonderful. I was able to give my sister at my parish a big hug this morning and congratulate her on this week. And I think that's the point. If we have sisters that we know in our lives that are out there giving their entire lives to serve the church and to form young people, or RCA, wherever they're working in your parish or in your school or in your community, you know, to recognize them, send them a note, call them, email them, you know, just give them a hug and say thank you. And, you know, I think they just have this service that goes on and they're not always recognized. So that's our task today, is to go tell some sister in our life that what she means to us.
Sounds good to me. And also get a copy of your book, Therese, Faustina, and Bernadette, Three Saints Who Challenged My Faith, Gave Me Hope, and Taught Me How to Love, published by Ave Maria Press. And actually, the launch date is today. Elizabeth's website, ElizabethFicicelli.com. Thanks, sweetie. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. God bless, Teresa.
You too. Up next, another great sister in the Lord, Gail Buckley, joining us for our Bible verse of the week. We'll be right back.
The days are getting longer. It's finally starting to warm up, and the deals are hot, hot, hot at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Hi, I'm Dan Hall, and during our awards season event, you can get the best deals of the year now on Jeep Patriot, Jeep Cherokee with up to 30 miles per gallon, and Jeep Grand Cherokee, or the Dodge Dart up to 40 miles per gallon, and Dodge Grand Caravan. Come in today and see for yourself why Chrysler sales are so hot and experience the award-winning vehicles inside and out, only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. On March 10th, pro-abortion activists observe the National Day of Appreciation for Abortion Providers. They want to make into heroes the people who get paid for killing babies. Former abortionist Dr. Tony Levantino provided this comment on the observance. 8 years of performing abortions, affirming a woman's right to choose. Over 1,200 innocent children in 5 years of private practice, shredded in suction machines and dismembered in late-term abortions. Hundreds of dead little faces staring back at me. Dozens of women who chose abortion, assuming that they would be able to become pregnant at some later date, who found out differently as the years rolled by. A National Day of Appreciation for what I did? No thank you. Let's pray today for all abortionists that they may experience repentance, conversion, and new life. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Today's programming on Ave Maria Radio is made possible in part from our day sponsor, Perinatal Hospice and Tender Care of Washtenaw, to announce Eric Jenness live in concert at Christ the King Church in Ann Arbor, Saturday, March 15th at 7:30 p.m. For ticket information, go to perinatalhospice@gmail.org. You can be a day sponsor, too. Call toll-free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
Remember Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. Gail Buckley helps us get to know the Lord better through His Word. Our Bible lady with our scripture verse of the week, Matthew 7:6. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Okay, my goodness, what in the world does this mean? Good morning.
Yes, this is a good one, isn't it? Well, these are the words of Jesus, and he was referring to those people who had rejected the gospel, those who had heard but hardened their hearts and refused to believe. And when Jesus called them dogs, you know, he's not talking about, you know, these domesticated dogs that we have as pets, but he's referring to the mangy street dogs that roam the city streets, often in packs and feeding on any filth or garbage they could find. So he's speaking of those people who would rather continue to live in sin, consuming their own garbage rather than listen to the saving message of the gospel. And, you know, Teresa, many of the church fathers believe that when Jesus said, do not give what is sacred to the dogs, that he was referring to the Eucharist. And meant that this sacred food should not be given to unbaptized unbelievers. But Jesus doesn't identify those that he refers to as dogs. But, you know, the Apostle Paul does in Philippians 3 when he says, watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. And as you read the context of what Paul is writing, the people he identifies as dogs are those who have rejected God's word. They've set themselves up as enemies of God. And to those people, we're not supposed to give what is sacred or holy. And the pigs that Jesus talks about are, you know, again, he's not talking about, you know, these domesticated pot-bellied pigs like some people have for pets, but rather he's talking about like wild boars. They're known for trampling things, trampling people, and causing havoc if they're threatened. So the problem that Jesus is addressing is that pigs are the people in our society who don't value the things of God, which are our pearls. The pearls are the Word of God and what the church refers to as the deposit of faith, the teachings that have been handed down to us from the apostles, our faith and our belief. So I would say the dogs and the swine here are representative of those who would ridicule and reject and blaspheme the gospel and the teachings of the church. And of course, you know, this doesn't mean that we should refrain from evangelizing, because Jesus himself commanded that we should go out into all the world and teach about him and make disciples of all. But
right.
And it doesn't mean we're not supposed to talk to sinners. I mean, for that matter, we're all sinners, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus is speaking about those who would reject his teachings, those who do not want to hear. You know, in the ninth chapter of Matthew, we read where Jesus said to his apostles, "If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet and leave that place." So in summary, what we learn from this verse is that we are definitely supposed to evangelize and spread the gospel message, and we're supposed to tell others about Jesus, but we don't want to waste our time trying to evangelize those who don't want to listen, those who would ridicule and mock us, and those who would trample on God's word and turn on us and abuse us. There are so many hungry souls who really need to be fed the gospel message and that will accept it and rejoice when they hear it. So we don't have time to waste on those who don't want to hear it. As Jesus said, shake the dust off your feet and move on.
Well, good advice, Gail, and thank you so much. And sometimes I know it's hard to understand some of these verses. That's why it's important that we look at them in context and also from a truly Catholic perspective. And Gail
exactly.
has great information for us, and you can find out more about learning more about the Bible from a Catholic perspective through the wonderful Catholic Scripture Study. I know about it because I was in it for many years at my parish. CSSprogram.net. Again, that's CSSprogram.net. And Gail, also Bible Lady with her very own radio program as well. Thanks, Gail. Have a great Monday and a great week, and we'll talk to you next week, sweetie.
Thank you, T. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. CSSprogram.net. Looking forward to tomorrow's program. Also, a brand new book, The 7 Big Myths About Marriage, a very important topic right now. And then my friend Donna Marie Cooperl Boyle is back with us, all about Therese. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection as Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Are you tired of the way your faith is represented in the mainstream media? Stop getting your Catholic news from secular sources and get it from a trusted local Catholic source instead. At the Michigan Catholic Newspaper, we're Catholic, and we cover your Catholic Church in a way that only Catholics could. For the same reason you listen to Ave Maria, get the Michigan Catholic for just $24 a year by calling 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
During this season of Lent, Our Lady of Grace Bookstore offers many books of appropriate length to have you finish during the season. Now, each Lent, many say they want to have a growing relationship with God. Then start with Clarence Ensslin's My Other Self, Conversations with Christ on Living Your Faith. Endorsed by Benedict Rochelle and Cardinal Donald Wuerl, it's called an intimate guide to the spiritual life, beginning with the call of friendship. In Conversation with God from Francis Fernandez is in a similar vein. And if you wonder why people witness to God's mercy, see Christoph Cardinal Schönborn's book, We Have Found Mercy, The Mystery of God's Merciful Love. Our Lady of Grace has plenty of books for kids, too, including Ablaze, Stories of Daring Teen Saints, and the Lenten Survival Guide for Kids, I'm Supposed to Do What? Those ideas, plus DVDs, icons, rosaries, and crucifixes, is what Our Lady of Grace Bookstore is known for having all year round. Our Lady of Grace Bookstore at Lobby C of Domino's Farms in Ann Arbor.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory.